Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the man whose mother still thinks he should try to get a real job.
Dear folks, I got this great job in a gas station. I don't want to say how much I'm getting, but let's just say it's a lot. I'm enclosing $2.
That's a good boy.
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back, 34, after the hour. Thank you very much for being part of my day. Thanks for hanging out with me. You're going to be glad you did, because we got our good friend Bob McTeer back on the show. Dr. Robert McTeer, distinguished fellow at the National Center for Policy Analysis, ncpa.org, former president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas, former member of the Federal Open Market Committee. But he's not the former around here. He's the very current, outstanding, long-term member of our Brain Trust. Bob McTeer, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim.
Good to have you back. Hey, Bob, recently you were in Washington moderating a panel on gross domestic product. And I'm not sure exactly the details of that, but I wanted you to tell us a little bit about it, because I've got some questions for you about GDP.
Okay, this was yesterday, and the topic was kind of esoteric. It had to do with nominal GDP targeting as opposed to money supply targeting or inflation targeting, something like that.
Right.
And the two guys that were on the panel are leaders in a new movement called market monetarism.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as you know, a monetarist believes that the money supply is more important than interest rates.
Mm-hmm.
In judging monetary policy.
Mm-hmm.
But the Achilles heel of
meaning the control and of money, either adding liquidity or taking liquidity away,
yeah.
Helps to bridle or govern the economy growth.
Right. If you think the economy can grow potentially about 3-3.5% a year in real terms, then you want your money supply to grow about 3-3.5% a year to finance it.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that occasionally the velocity of money messes you up by rising or falling and affecting that, and it's hard to predict.
And you get into a porpoising. In aviation, we call it porpoising, right, where you're chasing a trend. Is that what happens?
I'll take your word for the aviation part.
Well, porpoising is when you get out of control and you overcorrect one way or the other, and you can never find equilibrium, because you're always chasing the next dip or the next rise.
I think I've done that in a car. Anyway, these guys want to look at market indicators to sort of anticipate velocity and help with that problem. But they also, you know, what we're doing now is sort of targeting GDP by component. We have, mm-hmm. the Fed has a price level target, 2% a year now, and it's trying to get real GDP growth up. Now,
right.
You multiply those two together, and you get nominal GDP.
Mm-hmm.
What these guys say is don't target these things separately, but target them together.
Hmm.
Add your 2% inflation target to your 3% real target, and you get 5. And just keep trying to keep the economy on.
And so is that become 5%. A new indicator we try to track instead of plain GDP?
It's just regular GDP before you've deflated it.
Yeah,
it's already there. And one wrinkle in their thing is that the Fed should correct past mistakes.
Right.
You know, if the Fed tries to go 3% on something this year and it misses it a little bit,
mm-hmm.
it'll reset the 3% for next year without trying to make up the miss.
And folks, this is going to lead into our next segment, where I want to talk to Bob about quantitative easing. But Bob, before we get there, I want to ask you this question. When in 1990, we had, I think our GDP was somewhere around $6 trillion. And we were happy with 3-4% growth, 4% if we could get it. When in 2000, our GDP was somewhere around $9 trillion to $10 trillion, and we were still looking at 3% growth. Our GDP now is somewhere in the neighborhood of $15-16 trillion. When the numbers go up like that, should we still be thinking those same percentages? Is 2% as our economy has grown, is 2% pretty darn good now? You see my point? What the percentages versus the real dollars?
Yeah, you're saying there may be a new normal.
Yeah,
due to the fact that the economy is larger? I don't think so. I think there's a lot bad that's been going on, but I don't see why we can't eventually overcome that.
You still think at 16% GDP we can expect and focus on and not be happy until we get 3% growth?
Well, we got a larger labor force, a larger capital stock. Everything is bigger.
Yeah.
And I think so, but 3% is not that much.
You no, I agree.
When you and I met, I think, it was in the 90s, and then the second half of the 90s, we did better than 3%. We had that productivity boom.
But our economy was two-thirds of what it is now.
Yeah, well, I still think that, you know, it's like the income tax. Why don't you let me pay 20% and not raise the 20% as the income level goes up? And you're saying don't lower the...
I'm saying
don't lower it.
I'm just asking. At some point in time, maybe we need to realize that when the numbers get that big, maybe 3% is pretty darn good. Quick break. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.